they've got on camera here, all right? All right then, looks like the law's already in here. You didn't mess with my truck, did you? Brother David knows. It's on camera. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. In that lesson there, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're able to look in verse number 11. All right, in chapter number 6, verse number 11. Here's the text verse tonight. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We want to say thank you, Lord, for repentance and faith, not only toward God, but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for these that have gathered tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on, and such were some of you. Now, you may have done a whole lot of these things that are listed in verse number 9 and 10. It might be that you've done some of all of it. It might be you've done two or three of them at the same time. Might be. What I'm just saying is that when a person gets born again, it's not what they were, but it's what they are now. It's, I'm afraid there's a whole lot of people in the day we live in, they're not in the were category. That is their present life now, and you'll find that as a result of that, they've never been washed by the blood. They've never been born into the family of God. They've never been set apart or sanctified. They've never been justified in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care how far down in the gutter you've ever been, God can reach farther down than you've ever been able to reach up. And when God does that and saves you, he puts you in his family, makes a new creature out of you in Christ. That's why that he says over there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know why? Because old things are past, and now behold, all things have become new. There were some things you once loved, you now hate, and there were some things you once did, you don't do anymore. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm glad he did. I remember when he found me. If you're saved tonight, you can remember when he found you. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find out, is that he came to save us from our sin, not in our sins. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm saved by Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, I don't worry about how I live. Well, you should, because your life is going to tell on if you know him or not, or if you're just a little bit religious. Let me say to you, when you get born again, he did not come to save you in your sin, but he came to save you from your sin. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They're like an empty coin machine. No change. There's something in it. I was thinking, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here tonight, you'll find is that I'm glad to say the Lord said that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, what a good thought that is. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I do want you to look for a moment that, if you will, please, over in the book of Revelation chapter number 1. Don't lose your text, though, by the way, but in the book of Revelation chapter number 1. In the passage there in verse number 5, it's a passage there, and I wanted to underline that in this new Bible I'm trying to break in. But I wanted to look at it in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and notice, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's by the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you and I have been born again into the family of God. That's the reason why he's put us in the were category. Such were some of you, but not anymore. We're a different creature now. All right, in number one, first of all, I want to say to you that in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6, in verse number 9 and 10, it'll tell you what you and I used to be or once was, and that we're in the word category now. Look in 1 Corinthians 6 now, verse 9. Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, it's very plain, is it not? I mean, we know people that are unrighteous, people that are out there that are godless and wicked. Well, here's what he said. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. You see that word there, effeminate? It has to do with the feminine approach, appearance, action, attitude of the male species, or vice versa, if it's a woman, the masculine deal. Now, somebody told me one time in argument, you know, well, you can't look at a young man and just because he's real prissy something and all of that business there. I'm not talking about a 3 or 4 or 5 year old. I'm talking about 15 years old and all that business there. Somebody said, well, God said they're not to be effeminate. See that? As a result, now we don't have anybody like that, or at least yet. We don't have any yet. We've had the potential of having some like that, but we moved them on down the road somehow or another. I'm guessing it was Bible preaching. I didn't have to address that personally. But notice, if you will, please, he says, whenever he says, be not deceived, and he names them. And he says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you, is that there's a lot of people that have been in all them categories that have gotten born into the family of God. Now, you know why? It's because God granted them repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and they're no longer what they used to be. They're in the were category now instead of the is category. You need not, whenever preaching's being involved, and it hits on an area of your life to where that you once felt bad and ashamed, you don't need to beat yourself up about that unless you're going back and doing it again and over. I mean, you know, let me say to you that it's good to know the Lord and to be forgiven by the grace of God. And let me say to you that in this lesson that we're looking at, that God's in the saving business. And I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but he is. And whenever he does save, by the way, something we ought to remember, he's the only one that can save us, and you're the only one that can receive it. I know a lot of parents tonight, me included, if we could receive the Lord Jesus for one of our children or one of our grandchildren, we would readily do that. But you see, you can't. You're going to find out Jesus is the only one that can save a soul. That individual's the only one that can receive it. We're the only one that can receive it. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, it's a personal thing that whenever you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a whole group may come forward being influenced one by the other. But let me tell you, dear friend, down at the altar, they're going to have to individually deal with God and God deal with them. God's not saving in a package deal. God's not saving on a program of everybody in one family. Now, everybody in a family can get saved, and would to God that it is, and I hope to God that it does, but you'll have to individually let God deal with your heart before you can respond unto the invitation that God's given. You know, it doesn't. Here's the way, and I've dealt with a lot of people in days gone by, sort of like this right here. Well, sir, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? You've already confessed that you don't know where you'd go when you leave this world, and you're pretty sure you're not a Christian. And wouldn't you like to trust Christ? Wouldn't you like to get born again? Wouldn't you, while God's tugging at your heart's door, and the man would look at his wife and say, I don't know, honey, what do you think? See, that ain't how God does it. When God saves you, it won't matter what honey did or did not want. I'm telling you, when you look into the Bible, you recognize and realize is that groups may come every now and again. That's one reason why that I don't like Vacation Bible School, for that reason. You tell a little old sad puppy dog story, and if you can ever get the right person and that right kid to move, there'll be 20 following. as some dumb Baptist preacher filling out baptismal cards and when they got saved. Hang on to that. If you ever doubt it, see if you can dig it up out of a closet somewhere. I want to tell you, I don't have the paper work when I got born again. But I can tell you what I do know. My name's been sealed down. I'm glad to know that I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you remember when you individually, remember that, individually, God dealt with your heart personally. I got to tell you right now is that whenever God forgave us, and what a great word forgiveness is. I'm glad to know that regardless of where I've been, what I've done, that God was able and sufficient to forgive me of all my sins and save my soul. I'm glad that my sins are gone. I was thinking about, you know, in the day we live in, man-made religion that lays aside the commandments of God, and they teach for commandments the commandments of men, whatever they come up with and agree on. I got to say to you, there's a lot of people that are like that in the world. Do you know that nobody ever gets saved? I told you the other day, there's never going to be any grace until there's been any guilt. If no guilt, no grace. That's the way it is. When you're guilty for your sins and you stop arguing and stop excusing yourself, and when you become guilty before God, then God will be able to save your soul. If you're not saved, that is, here tonight. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, the reason why that people miss that is because, I don't know, the satisfaction of how they already live and what they're already doing and what they've already done. I got to tell you right now is that when God shows us as a Christian ourselves like we are, if we do like the prophet Isaiah and cry out, woe is me, for I'm undone, like Job said. And let me tell you right now, it'll make you know you dwell, Isaiah said, among people, you know, with unclean lips and so forth and on. Let me say that whenever God grants you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has shown you yourself like he sees you. We're too many times, you know, like the old story that I used to tell. I know I've told it here maybe more than once. I wanted to hear it again just because it came across my mind. And about the whiskey-smelling barber, remember him? As preacher, you know, trying to witness to a barber, and of course the guy, you know, smelled like a brewery all the time, and every time he sat down, I mean, you could smell him and, you know, in his skin and through the pores of it. And the preacher, you know, he's a little bit nervous, this and that, and especially whenever he'd take that straight razor and go to trimming around after the haircut, go to trimming around his sideburns and up and down his neck. Preacher got a little nervous about it. One time particularly, the guy was a little tipsy, and the preacher sat down in the chair. We're talking about facing what you are. We're talking about not trying to put it off on somebody else. And anyhow, he sat down there, and of course, he was really stiff, and Barbara, hey, loosen up, preacher. You look like you're a little stiffened up and tight today. And anyhow, he's shaking around as he's trying to take that straight razor, and sure as a world, buddy, nicked him a little bit. And he grabbed that thing, and the preacher did, and blood squirting, and he said, do you see what liquor does? He said, made your skin tender, didn't it? That's the reason why people can't get in. He had no idea. I can't tell you how many sermons through all these years, you know, that I've preached that the wife was glad the husband was getting it, and he thought, I thought it was for you. But, you know, I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that in the lesson that man-made religion lays aside whatever God said and for a commandment that God has given, and they lay aside that and they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. I was thinking about this week, you know, and I don't know if I saw her on a news clip, read it in a little news flash article of this or that, but one of my favorite people that's lost a little weight, by the way, her name is Oprah Winfrey, and she was looking in that faraway look and thinking, with the tragedy that's taking place in the Ukraine and the devastation and the rubble and the ruins and the lives that have been destroyed and the children that have been killed and along with many of their parents. And she says, have we missed something? Is this a sign that God is trying to show us something? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Oprah just so that you'll know it. She's 68 years old. And she says that God is jealous of her. That's what she says. I read it twice. I thought, no, I'm not reading that right. You know. I kept thinking somehow or another, if I don't understand no better than this right here, that what Oprah's saying, God's jealous of her. Huh? And so I read it twice, and that's exactly what she says. And about the Ukraine, whenever she's asking about, is there some kind of a end time sign or message that we have missed something? By the way, she's worth $2.6 billion. Her partner since 1986 to the present. That means they're just living out of wedlock. His name is Stedman Graham. Now I want to say to you that whenever you look into that, here's a gal that's just been shacked up out of wedlock for all these years. And she's wanting to know, have we missed something? Yes, Oprah, you have missed something. Look in your Bible text there in chapter number 6 at about verse number 9. Know you're not the unrighteous, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Did you notice that? Listen, they know such thing as a fornicator, a practicing fornicator, a practicing adultery, being saved and being a Christian and going to heaven. And I got news for you. You can be the finest Christian on the face of this earth and God is not jealous of you. He is a jealous God, but he's not jealous of anybody. In this lesson you're looking at, look in the book of Galatians. Turn over there quickly, Galatians chapter number 5. And every now and again we'll use that. In verse 17 we'll take up reading, chapter 5, verse 17. All right, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Now if you're a child of God, the spirit of God lives on the inside of you and the flesh is battling against it. And the spirit is against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, the spirit of God keeps you from doing what flesh wants to do. He said, but if you be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is what you and I'd be doing if it were not for the spirit of God to live on the inside of your heart. You may not be doing all of these, but you'd be doing some of these. He said adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, such like. Look at him. Of which I've told you before, as I have told you in time past, they which, quote, do, that's a present tense saying, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when Oprah asked the question, like many celebrities that think just along those same lines, I got to tell you right up front, there's a lot of them that may be happily married and clean as a pin when it comes to the matrimonial deal. They drink a little wine, a few suds every now and again, and so forth and on, and all that's covered in these passages that are here. There's no such thing as a practicing beer drinker, liquor drinker, being born again. No such thing as that. No such thing as that in the Bible. Anytime people, you know, boy, well, I disagree. Well, you got to disagree with the Bible. I didn't write it. I've just read it and tell you what it said. It's not an unforgivable thing, but there's no such thing as a practicing drinker, drunkard. So, well, you know, I don't believe it's wrong to drink as long as you don't get drunk. That's the cliche that comes out. Well, you won't find that in the Bible. God said, don't even look on it while it's red and bites and so forth and on. Well, you ought not even be looking at it, much less drinking on it. I want you to notice such like whenever he says there, I tell you, and before as I told you in time past, they would do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And our main text that we read, you're going to find is that they've included the such lying, and here's why. Because it ain't just going to be Oprah, but it's going to be people that think just like she thinks. It's going to be people that are such like, that are hell-bent that are hell bound. They don't have to die and go to hell without God, but they're not willing to come the only blood-bought way and to be born the only way there is to be born again into the family of God. She was arguing with some preacher here a while back about, was Jesus the only way, you know, to be able to get to heaven? I want to tell you, yes, that he is, and there's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why he says in the lesson here tonight, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. And I got to tell you right now, is talk about in for a rude awakening. But not only her, but and do you realize that, oh, you can get thrown out of the average Baptist church for saying anything against Oprah? You know, used to whenever she had her own show that some, you know, somebody hired her and all that business, and she had her own show, and every now and again they'd have a gift certificate, or they'd have some kind of gift underneath the chair where they were sitting, you know, and all that business there, and she'd get all hyped up and pumped up and all of that business there. Everybody today is going to get to have a new Lincoln. And she thinks the Lord is jealous of her because of the Lincoln. I want to say in closing, when you read the Bible, you may be as poor as Job's turkey. I don't even know if Job had a turkey. You might be as poor as Brother Matt's turkey. Well, not anymore, because he's gone. I said all that to say this. You've got great riches if you have Jesus Christ living in your heart and a treasure that'll meet you on the other side. But if you have all this world had to offer and you had not the Lord, you'll die bankrupt in your soul, without hope and without God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read all these things that are here, I'm glad to be able to read, and God said, and such were some of you, but you're washed. You know what I'm washed by? The blood of the Lamb. But ye are sanctified. That means God set you apart. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, I got to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, it's a blessed thing, a victorious thing. It's a glorious thing to know him in the free pardon of sin. It just is. I hope you know him, and if not, I'm trusting that God will give you that opportunity by knocking upon your heart's door and drawing you unto himself. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We want to say thank you for giving us the Word and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us into all the truth. Thy Word is the truth. Now I pray your blessings upon these that have gathered tonight, be with those that could not be. Meet every request in accordance to thy Word and will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.